Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, who joins us every week. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you after a Chiefs victory, and the Chiefs ran the hell out of the football in Buffalo. Just like to get your reaction not only to the win, but the way the Chiefs won that game against the Bills on Monday.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's a saying in coaching, we go with what works. So they kept going with the run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was terrific, and Andy Reid did something that he's not normally prone to do with that. He just kept running the football. And, you know, that's the way you beat the Bills. You don't throw it. They got they got their secondary back intact. And I give him credit. They just kept running and kept running, and that was a great sign. Edwards-Helaire looks great. He has looked really good all season anyway. And they're going to get Bell back for this game in his first game in a Chiefs uniform. So good sign, really good sign. And they, again, what they're doing is they're taking what the defense is giving them. We're not seeing a lot of the explosive plays that we're used to seeing, so what? Coaching is about finding another way to score, and they certainly did that.
So how do you expect Bell to factor into the equation, maybe especially right off the bat now that he's ready to join the team?
Yeah, once they think he's ready for the kind of role they have in mind, which is going to be not only as the number two running back, but help on third down, they'll do that. And this would probably be a good week to do it with Denver coming in with their 34 front. Denver's a team that presents certain challenges for running backs. And you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the one issue that talk to people around the league when they've graded the Chiefs tape is that he's not great in pass protection. It's not as smart as he is by rookie standards. He's really advanced in terms of knowledge, but it's harder for rookie running backs though for pass protection because there are a lot of things that happen that they've not seen before. And Bell is clearly not the same player seriously on the back nine of his career, but he certainly could give you this season, obviously, because he's in a one-year deal, he could give the Chiefs a lot of help on third down where I think they could use it. Also, short yardage, because Edwards-Helaire has not been good in short yardage, and that's certainly another area where I think he could help them.
Were you surprised at all, considering the reshuffled offensive line, that the Chiefs were so impressive with the run game? They had Daniel Kilgore starting at center, a guy that they signed on August 27th, right before the season started, instead of Austin Ryder, who's been battling a knee injury. You already had Mike Remmers in there for Osemele, and then Mitchell Schwartz leaves the game early with the back injury that had him listed as questionable. And so then Nick Allegretti, a seventh-round pick from last year, steps in at guard. Remmers goes to tackle, and that was one of the better performances of the offensive line so far this year.
Yeah, they dominated. There's no doubt. You know, the Bills, by the way, for the most part, are a smaller front seven. They're one of the smaller front sevens, and the way you beat them is you don't come in throwing a ton. You come in running the football, and then you see what kind of success they have. And yeah, the Chiefs now are really down on depth in the offensive line. That's one thing which we'll probably talk about on next Wednesday segment. I'll have a list for you of players I think the Chiefs might be looking to acquire who might be available for them, because that's what you do at the trade deadline. If you're a really good football team like the Chiefs, a Super Bowl contender, you need to look at things where you're not as strong. And I think depth with the Osemele injury, which is it's unfortunate. It's really strange. He has serious damage to both knees. It just doesn't happen very much. You mentioned the other guys. They're going to need to look at depth on the offensive line. That's probably the number one thing now, I think, going forward in terms of what they need to sort of solidify going towards the playoffs.
So any other positions you think the Chiefs might be interested in trying to add some depth at before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I said on last week's show I thought Bell was the guy that they would look toward getting, because they have not got enough out of Williams and Darrell Williams. And then when you look at it, don't forget, the Damian Williams opt-out really was the reason why they did this. Had they had Damian Williams, they're not doing this with Bell, but they had to do it. And they should get Sneed back, by the way, after their Week 10 bye. That's the broken collarbone is typically a 6-week injury. That'll put it right up against the bye. Then he should be, barring a unforeseen circumstance, he's got a really good chance to come back after the bye. So I think they'll be okay there. Safety's one where you can never have enough depth. And then defensive end depth, because of the Okafor injury, it's just odd. He keeps having issues with his hamstrings. It's hard to find defensive ends. Teams simply don't want to trade them. The Eagles got one last year with Jannard Avery from the Browns. They were lucky enough to get him. But I would say number one, it's got to be offensive line. This is something that gets to be a concern if they continue to lose players.
And apparently, John Ross has asked to be traded out of Cincinnati, the man that was picked one pick before Patrick Mahomes. Do you think there will be much interest in John Ross for maybe your late round draft pick? And do you think perhaps the Chiefs would be interested in that speed receiver?
Yeah, I actually talked to his agent earlier this week. He said the Bengals have made it very clear that they don't want to trade him. Like, you know, the Bengals, by the way, they don't like trading. I had a story many years ago that they were in talks to trade Corey Dillon, and they actually denied it, and then 3 weeks later they actually traded him to the Patriots. So I would say it's unlikely they'll trade him only because of their history. They have no reason to not trade him. They declined his fifth-year option. The only reason why he played last week is because Auden Tate was not available. They absolutely will have interest in him, but they have to be willing to listen. And you know, historically, they don't really listen to trades. I don't know why the Bengals really, excuse me, the Chiefs need to do anything there. They're going to get Sammy Watkins back. If he's not back this week, he should be back the week after. Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, I mean, they're good there. That's really not an area I think they need to do anything. You never say never, obviously. And I think that's it. Yeah, Ross is a guy, though. He could flat out fly. But you know, another thing with John Ross is he's been hurt a lot. That's been an issue with him.
We're visiting with Adam Kaplan. Adam, the big news this week in the NFL, at least some of the big news, Tua Tagovailoa taking over as the starter for the Miami Dolphins. I feel like it's interesting timing because the Dolphins are actually kind of in the East playoff race, aren't they, at 3-3? What do you make of the decision, and why is the time right now to do this for the Dolphins?
Yeah, the reality is they're really in the fight for a wild card. Technically, because we're so early here, they are competing for the division lead, but really what they're competing for is one of the extra wild card spots. Remember, each conference now has three wild card spots, not two. So they're in it. They spent a ton of money in free agency this year. Some of the moves have worked out, some have not, like Jordan Howard, who they're paying almost $5 million a year. They owe him just under $5 million for the season. He was inactive. He's available. We'll see if they move him, but yeah, look, they've won two in a row. They're 500. I remember when Kurt Warner got pulled to Eli Manning in 2004. It was bizarre to me. And Kurt was not playing well, but they were 500. And look, it turned out to be the right decision. But if you're going to do this, by the way, you do it in the bye. And he did play last week. He was 2-for-2. Tua was. Yeah, it is. It's a little bit odd. But look, it's not a secret. Tua's going to be the quarterback within the next 3 to 4 weeks. It's just a matter of when and where and how you do it. And the way it went down, as Tua was told, as I understand it, Tuesday morning, and everyone was notified, and you know the Fitzpatrick was notified, and that's the way they did it. And they'll come out of the bye. By the way, they play against the Rams coming out of the bye. That's a pretty tough matchup. Rams have a pretty good defense. So, look, you're starting the clock here. It's going to be fascinating. Look, we saw it. Although Mahomes played a little bit his rookie season, coach, it's not always the easiest thing to do to determine when you want to go with your first round pick. There's never a great time to do it, and you've got to know, being with the player every day, when to do it, and this is when they felt they could do it.
Adam Kaplan is our guest. All right, let's get into some big matchups that we want to ask you about this weekend. We'll get the Chiefs and the Broncos prediction last, but marquee matchup in the AFC, Steelers at Titans in a battle of the unbeatens. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I love it. It is the matchup of the week, one of the best of the season. In Tennessee, unfortunately, lost their left tackle, Taylor Lewan, due to ACL injury for the season. In talking with them, Jonnu Smith's ankle injury it's minor. He did not have a high ankle sprain. He has a chance to play this week. They're not going to know until later today and see how his rehab's going. And then they had Firkser, the tight end, fill in last week for him when he got hurt. A kid out of Harvard who's bounced around a little bit. He's actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, might have been with the Chiefs, actually, years ago. But Firkser has been a good story of development. And I'll tell you what, the way you beat the Steelers is you don't run, you throw it. I know that obviously, when you have Derrick Henry, you want to run it. But it's hard to run on them. And their corners have not played at a high level this season. I would expect the Titans to have some success. So this is a very, very tight game. This one is a absolute coin flip. I'm going to pick the Titans because I think they have a little bit more going for them. Now, the Steelers' defense is better, but again, I think this is a tight game. If the Titans don't turn it over, they'll win. Now, if the Steelers win, It's going to be because they expose the, whoever fills in at left tackle for the Titans. So this should be a fun game.
Now, I know he's out for the year, but, I mean, a big impact just in this game is the injury to Devin Bush. But maybe in this game and moving forward, how much does that damage the Steelers?
It does. It does because of the way that they use him, whether it's a blitzer, obviously against the run, coverage against a linebacker where he's really good. It hurts. There's no doubt about it. The Steelers have been in pretty good shape injury-wise. They've had a couple offensive linemen banged up. They actually lost the right tackle, Zach Banner, for the season, but they're in pretty good shape injury-wise. Again, this is a fun game here because although I did pick the Titans, this is the second year I picked them to win the division. I didn't expect him to be this good, but that was a heck of a comeback they had last week, by the way.
Do you think the Steelers can try to address that injury in the trade deadline time period? Like you talked about how the Chiefs trying to add some depth. Can they find somebody to replace Bush?
Yeah, they should be because they're not going to find a starter, most likely. It's a backup. They run a 34 front. They could find an inside linebacker. Typically what teams do is they look for players who are typically not playing or a player they had a decent grade on that the team is disparity on the depth chart, and that's kind of how you get it. You can find those type of guys. The positions, personnel people tell me, that are really hard to find are pass rushers, left tackles, and safeties. Those are the hardest ones to find when you're at the trade deadline.
Adam Kaplan is our guest. Nate's going to ask you about Seahawks and Cardinals next, but I want to ask you about this Sunday night football game that we're all going to have our eyes on. Buccaneers at Raiders. This, I think, is going to be a very entertaining game. The Bucs look terrific against the Packers, and, of course, the Raiders are still flying high after beating the Chiefs. What do you think happens in Las Vegas between the Bucs and the Raiders?
Look, as you guys saw 2 weeks ago, the Raiders were on their bye this week, but you saw when they came into Kansas City and won. Derek Carr's playing the best ball he's ever played. The Raiders told me this was his best camp under Gruden under 3 years. The thing is, their defense isn't very good. They gave, obviously, 32 points against the Chiefs. The Bucs, here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether they play home or away. They're very good. Their defense is phenomenal. Most improved defense so far. Brady's playing really well. This is a tight game. I do believe the Bucs will win that game, and I don't think it's a big struggle for them. I think they'll handle this. And then the Seahawks Cardinals, great game for the Cardinals. They blitzed the heck out of Andy Dalton, the Cowboys quarterback, because they knew they could. The Cowboys were without three linemen, some of the backup linemen. Seahawks come off of their bye. Yeah, I think the Seahawks win, and it would not surprise me if they win by more than 10 points.
All right, so Steven mentioned it. I'm really excited to check out this Seahawks versus Cardinals game. I feel like it's a measuring stick to see how much progress the Cardinals really have made. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, they did lose Chandler Jones, their outstanding outside linebacker. But as I just said, you know, the Cardinals blitzed the heck out of Andy Dalton on Monday night. The Seahawks come off of their bye, where Russell Wilson, by the way, Ryan Tannehill and Russell Wilson have played the best quarterback play this season. They've been unbelievable, and no one's been able to stop Russell Wilson. It's been incredible. And DK Metcalf is the guy that no one's able to stop. Mr. Olympia, as I've called him, 6'3", 225, and Patrick Peterson's probably going to have to cover him. Cardinals improved, there's no doubt about it. Christian Kirk has done very well at receiver, and the Seahawks, by the way, the Seahawks secondary has been awful, but their offense has been terrific, and I think in the end the Seahawks win this game, and probably by 10 or more.
All right, before we get your Chiefs-Broncos prediction, Bears are 5-1, but no one thinks they're very good, it seems. They play at the Rams 4-2 on Monday night. And so so you're picking the Rams then on Monday?
Yeah, I am. The Bears, look, their defense is playing really well right now. Their offense is not. I think this is not a high-scoring game. I would be surprised if it is, but I do believe the Rams will win and bounce back. They didn't play well last week, but I do believe they'll bounce back after losing really badly to the 49ers.
All right, and what will the score be for Chiefs-Broncos?
I was close this past week. I had the Chiefs winning, and they'll win again. Broncos have trouble scoring. I think they win this one at 23-13.
We'll take it. Thank you very much for the time, Adam Kaplan.
Guys, thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
That is Adam Kaplan. He's awesome. I love it. I love asking him about all the games. I'm really, really excited about the Steelers and Titans game. That's going to be excellent. That's a noon game if you're looking for all the times. And by the way, football fans, sorry. I decided not to ask him about the NFC East showdown tomorrow night between the Giants and Eagles. I know a lot of people were demanding to get some answers about that matchup. We had to pass on that, and so we'll...
Hey. That could determine a first round home playoff game.
That they could also determine what time I go to sleep. So that's Thursday, and they're gonna, you know what, they're gonna have at it is what they're gonna do. But Sunday, the game to watch at noon, obviously, will be the Steelers and Titans. And so, thankfully, that's in the early window. And then the late window will be dominated by Chiefs and Broncos. And then the third game that we all want to watch is the Sunday night game, Bucks and Raiders. So the three big games that we will be focused on are all at different times, which is wonderful. So big weekend in football, big games in the NFL. Chiefs at Broncos. Let's go. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.